Blog Talk Radio.
God's love for you goes on and on. When other hearts have failed, this love forgave from Calvary's cross. Where that love faith arise as I give you words I know. Well, I know there's a God in heaven who saves, who delivers, and heals. For he gave his son, the Lamb of God, the Savior.
This is Ann Winter here at the Zoe Radio Network, and we are reading Dr. John G. Lake's sermon on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, part one. He did several sermons on this topic, which shows the importance of it to him. He was a part of the great outpouring of the Spirit at the beginning of the 20th century. At Azusa Street, the little picture that I've got on the broadcast page today is just, I lifted that out of a larger picture that was taken at Azusa Street with William Seymour and F.F. Bosworth and some other gentlemen. So Dr. Lake, he moved along with the Spirit. He started out with Dowie, John Alexander Dowie, and learned the truth, the revelation that Jesus was the healer. He moved in the healing ministry. Then he heard about the outpouring of the Spirit, and he visited Azusa Street. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit himself. And these sermons are just some of them, the most outstanding that I have ever heard on the topic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've been a Christian now over 40 years, and I can still say that with the utmost confidence. I want to begin by going back. We're going to read part two today, beginning with the language of the Spirit. But I want to go back and just read his introductory statements as we begin. Father, I thank you today that these words are written in letters of fire on the hearts of the hearers. Words of fire, Father. You said you'd baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so I pray, Father, that these wonderful words of Dr. Lake, this revelation, this understanding that he had of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the benefit and revelation and power that it brings to the believer, I pray, Father, that this revelation will be written on the hearts of those who hear these words in letters of living fire. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. February 23rd, 1921, Dr. Lake says in his opening comments, "The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the greatest event in Christian history, greater than the crucifixion, of greater import than the resurrection, greater than the ascension, greater than the glorification. It was the end and finality of crucifixion and resurrection, ascension and glorification. If Jesus Christ had been crucified and there had been no resurrection, then without avail, insofar as the salvation of mankind is concerned. Or, if he had risen from the grave in resurrection and failed to reach the throne of God and receive from the Father the gift of the Holy Ghost, the purpose for which he died and for which he rose would have been missed. It is because there was no failure. It is because Jesus went to the ultimate, to the very throne and heart of God, and secured right out of the heavenly treasury of the eternal soul, the Almighty Spirit, and poured it forth upon the world in divine baptism, that we are here tonight. The day of Pentecost was the birthday of Christianity. Christianity never existed until the Holy Ghost came from heaven. Hallelujah, Christian history. If Jesus Christ had been crucified and there had been no resurrection, his death would have been without avail, insofar as the salvation of mankind is concerned. Or if he had risen from the grave in resurrection and failed to reach the throne of God and receive from the Father the gift of the Holy Ghost, the purpose for which he died and for which he arose would have been missed. It is because there was no failure. It is because Jesus went to the ultimate, to the very throne and heart of God, and secured right out of the heavenly treasury of the eternal soul, the Almighty Spirit, and poured it forth upon the world in divine baptism, that we are here tonight. I just wanted to read that to you a second time. His remarks are so startling because we think of the crucifixion and the resurrection as the greatest events. But he is saying if he hadn't been crucified, risen from the dead, and even ascended into heaven, but he had not sent the Holy Spirit, which was the reason for the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension, then the church would not exist today. Going on now, the language of the Spirit, part two of this wonderful sermon. If you'd like to hear part one, click on the link and go to my YouTube channel. It's there. I read it. It's in a reading on my YouTube channel. The spirit of man has a voice. Do you get that? The spirit of man has voice. The action of God in your spirit causes your spirit to speak by its voice. In order to make it intelligent to your understanding, it has to be repeated in the language that your brain or mind knows. Why? Because there is a language common to the spirit of man, and it is not English, German, French, Italian, or any other of the languages of the earth. It is a language of the spirit of man, and oh, a joy it was when that pent-up, bursting, struggling spirit of yours found its voice and spake in tongues. Many a time I have talked to others in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and through the medium of tongues, and knew everything that was said to me. But I did not know it with the natural ear. It was not the soul of their words. It was that undefinable something that made it intelligent. Spirit, speaking to spirit, just as mouth speaks to mouth, or as man speaks to man. Your spirit speaks to God. God is spirit. He answers back. And I believe with all my heart that is what Paul had in mind when he talked about the, quote, unknown tongue. The unknown tongue, that medium of internal revelation of God to you. unknown tongue, that medium of internal revelation of God to you. The common language of the spirit of man by which God communicates with your spirit. But if you want to make that medium of internal revelation of God intelligent to other folks, then it must be translated into the language that they know. That is the reason the apostle says, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. 1 Corinthians 14:13. That the church may receive edifying. Paul says, in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. 1 Corinthians 14:19. Your revelation from God is given to you in tongues, but you give it forth in the language the people understand. Beloved, settle it. It is one of the divine mediums and methods of communication between your spirit and God's. And as long as you live, when you talk about tongues, speak with reverence, for it is God. About healing, speak with reverence, for it is God. When you talk about prophecy, remember, it is God. A German woman came to the healing rooms one day, and a brother prayed for her. She had been a school teacher, but had to give up her profession because of her eyesight. She came back some weeks later, after having been alone for 3 weeks. She had never been in a religious service in her life where they spake in tongues, and had not knowledge of the scriptures on that line. She came back to me with a volume of written material that God had given her. When she had been prayed for to receive healing, the Spirit of God came upon her and she was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And now God had commenced to reveal himself to her, teach her of his word and of his will, until she filled a volume with written material of her conversations with God. She communed with God in tongues, her spirit speaking to God, but when she came to me, I received it in English. The man that sits alongside of you cannot understand that. He never talked to God. He does not understand anything about getting up in the middle of the night to write down what God has said to him. Well, he needs something else to convince him there is a God. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophecy, the outspeaking for God, is for all. Therefore, Paul does not want them to crush a man who is speaking in tongues, but to keep their hands off and stand back. Leave him alone with God. Let him travel a way out in God's love and power and come back with messages in his soul. But he must not monopolize the time of hundreds of people in the church with a private communication of God to his soul. But when he has completed his interview with God, he gives forth his knowledge as interpretation or prophecy. There have been so many controversies over the various gifts of the Spirit as they appeared one after the other. 25 or 30 years ago, when we began in the ministry of healing, we had to fight to keep from being submerged by our opposing brethren in Jesus Christ, who thought you were insane because you suggested that the Lord Jesus Christ could still heal. In the state of Michigan, I had to go into the courts to keep some of my friends out of the insane asylum because they believed God could heal without taking pills or some other material stuff. It was because they did not understand the eternal and invisible nature of God. They, meaning the people that were persecuting them because of their belief in healing, they had no idea God could be ministered through a man's hands and soul, fill a sick man's body, possession of, and make him whole. The world has had to learn this. It is a science far in advance of so-called material or physical science. Then that marvelous wave of God came over the country from 1900 to 1906, when hundreds of thousands of people were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. But listen, old John Alexander Dowie, riding on the wave of that wonderful manifestation of healing power, wanted to build a church and stamp it with healing only, which his church practically did. And it died, holiness only, and died. Others, with an anointing of the Holy Ghost called baptism, and they died in power also. Later on, we wanted to build a great structure and stamp it with tongues. After a while, the tongues got dry. Somehow, the glory and the glow had gone out of them. They became rattly and did not sound right. What was the matter? Nothing wrong with the experience. God had not departed from the life, but was hidden from our view. We were absorbed in phenomena, in the phenomena of God, and not in God himself. Now we must go on. Now, beloved, I can see as my spirit discerns the future and reaches out to touch the heart of mankind and the desire of God, that there is coming from heaven a new manifestation of the Holy Ghost in power. And that new manifestation will be in sweetness, in love and tenderness, in the power of the Spirit, beyond anything your heart or mind ever saw. Very lightning of God will flash through men's souls. The sons of God will meet the sons of darkness and prevail. Jesus Christ will destroy Antichrist. In 1908, I preached at Pretoria, South Africa, when one night God came over my life in such power, in such streams of liquid glory and power, that it flowed justly off my hands like streams of electricity. I would point my finger at a man, and that stream would strike him. When a man interrupted the meeting, I would point my finger at him and say, "Sit down." He fell as if struck and lay there for 3 hours. When he became normal, they asked him what had happened, and he said, "Something struck me that went straight through me. I thought I was shot." At 2 o'clock in the morning, I ministered to 65 sick who were present. And the streams of God that were pouring through my hands were so powerful, the people would fall as though they were hit. I was troubled because they fell with such violence. And the Spirit said, "You do not need to put your hands on them. Keep your hands a distance away." And when I held my hands a foot from their heads, they would crumple and fall in a heap on the floor. They were healed, almost every one. That was the outward manifestation. That was what the people saw. But, beloved, something transpired in my heart that made my soul like the soul of Christ. Oh, there was such a tenderness, a newborn tenderness of God, that was so wonderful that my heart reached out and cried and wept over men in sin. I could gather them in my arms and love them. And Jesus Christ flowed out of me and delivered them. Were saved and healed as they stood, transfixed, looking at me. During that period, men would walk down the aisle, and when they came within 10 feet of me, I have seen them fall prostrate, one on top of the other. A preacher who had sinned, as he looked at me, fell prostrate, was saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and stirred the nation with his message of love. In 18 months, God raised up 100 white churches in the land. That 100 churches was born in my tabernacle in Johannesburg. The multitude of those who composed that 100 churches were healed or baptized in the Holy Ghost under my own eyes as I preached or prayed. I continued in the ministry of healing until I saw hundreds of thousands healed. At last, I became tired. I went on healing people day after day as though I were a machine. And all the time, my heart kept asking, "Oh, God, let me know yourself better. I want you. My heart wants you, God." Seeing men saved and healed and baptized in the Holy Ghost did not satisfy my growing soul. It was crying for a greater consciousness of God. The witness, the withinness of me, was yearning for Christ's own life and love. A while, my soul reached the place where I said, "If I cannot get God into my soul to satisfy the soul of me, all the rest of this is empty." I had lost interest in it. But if I put my hands on the sick, they continued to be healed by the power of God. I will never forget Spokane, Washington. For during the first 6 months I was there, God satisfied the cry of my heart. And God came in, and my mind opened, and my spirit understood afresh. And I was able to tell of God like I never had been able to before. God reached a new depth in my spirit and revealed new possibilities in God. So, beloved, you pray through. Pray through for this church. Pray through for this work. Oh, God will come. God will come with more tongues than you have ever heard. God will come with more power than your eyes ever beheld. God will come with waves of heavenly love and sweetness, and your heart will be satisfied in him. Will a man speak in tongues when he is baptized in the Holy Ghost? Yes, he will, and he will heal the sick when he is baptized. And he will glorify God out of the spirit of him with praises more delightful and heavenly than you ever heard. And he will have a majestic bearing. He will look like the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be like him. The greatest manifestation of the Holy Ghost baptized life ever given to the world was not in the preaching of the apostles. It was not in the wonderful manifestations of God that took place at their hands. It was in the unselfishness manifested by the church. Think of it. 3,000 Holy Ghost baptized Christians in Jerusalem from the day of Pentecost onward, who loved their neighbor's children as much as their own, who were so anxious for fear their brethren did not have enough to eat that they sold their estates and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet and said, "Distribute it. Carry the glow and the fire and the wonder of this divine salvation to the whole world." That showed what God had wrought in their hearts. Oh, I wish we could arrive at that place where this church was baptized in that degree of unselfishness. That would be a greater manifestation than healing, greater than conversion, greater than baptism in the Holy Ghost, greater than tongues. It would be a manifestation of love, the love of 1 Corinthians 13, that so many preach about and do not possess. When a man sells his all for God and distributes it for the kingdom's good, it will speak louder of love than the evangelists who harp about love and oppose tongues and other gifts of the Spirit. That was the same Holy Ghost that came upon them and caused them to speak in tongues. No more grabbing for themselves, no more bantering for the biggest possible salary, no more juggling to put themselves and their friend in the most influential position. All the old characteristics were gone. They were truly saved. Why, their heart was like the heart of Jesus. Their soul was like the soul of God. They loved as God loved. They loved the world. They loved sinners. So that they gave their all to save them. Do you want him? You can have him. Oh, he will come and fill your soul. Oh, the Holy Ghost will take possession of your life. He will reveal the wonder of heaven and the glory of God and the richness and purity of his holiness and make you sweet and godlike forever. Here's a prayer in tongues and interpretation. Away, O God. Our souls tonight are enveloped in the eternal God. We feel thee round about us. We feel thy precious loving arm and the beating of thy heart and the pulsing of thy heavenly soul. And we are asking thee, my God, that the truth of the eternal shall be breathed into us forever until all our nature is submerged in God, buried up in God, in fill revealing God. Hallelujah. That concludes the reading of Sermon 1. The Baptism of the Holy Ghost by Dr. John G. Lake, February 23rd, 1921. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he is as near as your breath right now. All you have to do is just ask him, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you to be my shepherd and lead and guide me in these perilous times. I want to hear your voice. I want to be washed in your blood. I want to be filled with your Spirit. To say, you're in your own words, in faith, he died and rose again that you could be saved, delivered, and healed. So just ask him today. He's right there listening, and he'll come in and fill you with his wonderful presence. God bless you all today. Tune in again. I'd love to part 2.